Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, the payments landscape is constantly changing. Industry participants often introduce new products and services into the marketplace, and this constant change can cause headaches for industry players trying to understand who offers what and what opportunities or threats are present or upcoming in the marketplace. So to help better understand how organizations can get a handle on the payments marketplace, I have Pete Revel, who is the Director of Primary Data Services at Mercator Advisor Group. So there's certainly a lot to learn on today's episode, so without any further delays, let's start the show.
So Pete, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode here, where we're kind of taking a look at, I would kind of call it a bit of a staple of Mercator Advisory Group here, and that's really a competitive analysis. Now, I know a lot of people think, well, obviously, a Mercator is a consulting agency. Of course, they're going to do competitive analysis. But I think one of the interesting things is that because of the area of expertise and the base of expertise that Mercator has, there's certainly a lot of fluidness and kind of fintechs cropping up all over the place when it comes to this. It's just the depth that Mercator Advisor Group goes when it's taking a look at the competitive analysis. So I'm hoping that we can kind of dive into how that whole process works so we can kind of shed some light on, hey, this is how Mercator Advisor Group attacks that particular problem or question, particularly for a lot of the clients that they currently have. And I think you've got this great chart that you created that kind of breaks it down into a visual. And for those of you who are following along on paymentjournal.com, we're going to have that visual in the article below. But Pete, for those who are listening, perhaps you could break down this chart for our listening audience here today.
Yeah, essentially, it's really simple. If we look at the core of this chart, it says awareness, familiarity, and consideration. And if you think about the purchase funnel, it's kind of integral to the entire purchase funnel. Then around the core are your company and product, which means a company or product that is working with Mercator, and then other sort of satellites here are, say, competitor, surrounding awareness, familiarity, and consideration. And you brought up an excellent point that Mercator does quite a bit of competitive assessment. And there are really sort of two worlds there. One is sort of competitive intelligence, which is gathering information that you can on product features and specifications, maybe pricing, maybe distribution channels, market share, all that kind of quote-unquote hard information. What we're talking about here is taking your competitive assessment to the next level, which is understanding what your customers and customers of your competitors feel about your brand and the brands they're using. Because it's very important to understand that you know, it's very rare when a product operates in a monopolistic environment, right? Everybody has competitors. And therefore, it's critical to understand your competitive environment. And you may understand it from a competitive intelligence standpoint, but you may not know understand it from the viewpoint of the people who are actually end users. And whether it's a product or a brand, the basic principles of listening to the user base are the same. Where do you stand relative to the other brands that your potential client base is exposed to? And I think that this is important for all phases or many phases of the business, because knowing where a brand stands relative to the competition is really integral to any corporate strategy, and it really influences your sales strategies, your marketing, your product development, even your customer service. So what we're advocating here, and I think we feel pretty strongly about it, and we've done this for a number of our clients, which is to actually get an in-depth understanding of how you are perceived in the marketplace relative to your competition. And that's very important, because if you don't understand how you are viewed in the marketplace relative to your competition, you're really working in a vacuum.
Yeah. I mean, that certainly makes a lot of sense there. But I mean, there's there's that part of it, just kind of the overall view of it. But then as you were taking a look and kind of dissecting that chart there, you know, there's the three topics that are in the center there. There's the awareness, the familiarity, and then the consideration. So how exactly is it that Mercator is going about collecting that information to then be able to shed light on those three areas?
Well, there's only one real way to do it, and that's to get to the decision makers for the purchase of your product and to actually talk to them. And we have a number of different ways of doing that. We can conduct in-person interviews qualitatively. We can do online surveys. There are a number of ways of gather that information, but what's critical here is that you're listening to the actual buyers in the wild. And when we talk about buyers, we're not necessarily talking about the, you know, CFO, the treasury officer, the top people, because they don't know the details of the product. We really advocate going to people who are hands-on users of the product, you know, at the you know, VP, EVP, or EVP, SVP level, who are really users of the product, who can give you a real understanding of the pros and cons of your products and your competitors' products.
Yeah, but I have to ask though, so I've got a staff of people, right, that I could potentially use to go out and survey our customers, but why might that not be a good idea?
That's a great question, Ryan, and I think that the key to what Mercator is advocating is the independence of Mercator. We are an independent research firm. We'll be going in and we won't be asking people to evaluate the brands as an advocate for any of the brands. So we don't necessarily represent any firm, particularly when we talk to these individuals. It's a completely blind survey such that they have no idea who the sponsor is. We feel, and it's been proven, that this is the best way to get candid, open feedback from people you're actually talking to.
Yeah, I think that that's certainly important, because then it kind of removes the whole, hey, we're not drinking our own Kool-Aid, or developing a questionnaire that might lead the survey respondent to get answers that you particularly want, that are in your favor. I think really kind of what you're saying
I was going to add to that is just that the whole idea of it being independent, not having any skew, and that can really boil down to simply to make sure that you're interviewing a representative sample across the user base, not just users of your product. So oftentimes companies that we work with don't really have a way of reaching out to people who don't use their product. And at the end of the day, they end up with they end up interviewing people that are either users of their product or have significant knowledge of the product, which is not necessarily good for understanding the broader construct of your potential user base.
All right. So when you're conducting these surveys here, what exactly like what are you looking for? What type of information is that you're looking for when you're fielding these surveys?
Well, first of all, I want to know what the awareness of the brand is and the competitive brands among the target audience. Do people know my brand? How aware are they of my brand? How familiar are they with my brand? They may know it, but they may not be all that familiar with it because we haven't been there to visit, to talk to them, to explain the program. They just may not have heard of it. It's also when you're doing this, it's also important to understand, you know, what are the cutting edge brands? What are the brands that people think are the up and comers? Maybe they don't have a lot of market share right now, but they're getting a lot of buzz. Those are very, very interesting brands to take a look at. You also want to know the flip side of that is who's being considered as kind of a laggard. Maybe they're not keeping up with technology. Maybe they're under some regulatory issues. You know, it's good to know what's going on with all the brands and who's leading and who's lagging. The other thing you want to know is you want to ask people, okay, I've introduced you to these brands or asked you about your awareness and familiarity with these brands. Well, you know, what are the likelihood these brands are going to be in your consideration set when it's time to renew your contract, buy again, and really get a sense for where your brand or product fits into the whole scheme relative to the rest of your competition? Then furthermore, I like to ask people who are users of different brands and products, how satisfied are you with your product? What do you like about it? What do you dislike about it? You know, in a perfect world, what would you ask them to add or change about the product? We want to know, you know, how likely they would be to recommend the product. And then just really an evaluation of the product on things like the product quality, service quality, value received for the money that you're paying. All these things give you a very good understanding of how the brands in the consideration set are all being perceived by both users and non-users, which is critical here.
You know, I know through your previous answer there that you were kind of really also discussing some of the ways that companies use this information. But I think I kind of want to, just for our audience here, pull those out a little bit. And then also maybe if you could kind of give an example of kind of, I guess, a shocking insight that maybe was delivered to a previous Mercator Advisor Group client that did one of these surveys that, you know, you were able to show them, hey, we found this, and they were kind of shocked by, like, hey, like, you know, we didn't even recognize this, or like, oh, that provides us with a great opportunity there. Maybe you could kind of pull out a couple of those case examples there to kind of show what type of things or what type of insights a potential partner could gain from using this program.
Sure. I mean, I think some of how a program like this is used are sort of building a point by point defense of your competitors' strengths and weaknesses. One of the key things that people do is they build a point-by-point defense of competitor strengths and weaknesses. With an analysis like this, what we can do is show a company where they are strong on various issues, and where they may be weak, and where they have opportunities to improve the product to make it more competitive in the marketplace. Companies have used these competitive assessments in their contract negotiation process. When it's time to renew, they can take the results of their survey and say, listen, you know, we did an independent survey, and here's how we rated relative to the competition on some of these key features. You may want to really reconsider, we still are the best opportunity for you. It also provides a development of thought leadership for web content, white papers, webinars, et cetera. It also provides you the opportunity to build sales collateral, not in a vacuum, but with knowledge and understanding of the strengths and weaknesses of your competitors. And then obviously something that stands out is the ability to refine your product, to develop it in such a way that it meets the needs of your clients and addresses your weak points, sort of bringing yourself up to match your competition. It also gives you the ability to understand and evaluate your current value proposition relative to the marketplace offering. Where are you strong? Where are you weak? And what are the key selling points that you need to amp up or amplify in order to get your message across and get potential buyers to understand your value proposition and its benefit over your competitors? You know, Ryan, you asked me about sort of shocking example. We did some work last year with an organization, very large organization, very well known in its category. And they thought that because of the fact their sheer size and familiarity, that people knew about a major product enhancement they were rolling out. And they thought that they would also be in the top one or two in the competitive set. And they were actually quite disturbed to realize that there were a couple of up-and-comers, new fintechs coming into the market that had a lot of buzz going about them, a lot of interest, and really posed a significant threat to them when they had, going into this study, had no real concern about these two fintechs. So these are the kinds of things that you find out when you actually go out and solicit feedback from product users, not just your product users, but category users.
Yeah, I certainly think that that's really interesting, right? Because, I mean, I think it kind of brings the conversation full circle in terms of just that. At the beginning, we just talked about, you know, like, there's so many fintechs that are out there, and there's more and more of them that are coming up every single day. And a lot of them are highly specialized in the particular area that they're in, that some institutions might not potentially see them as a threat to their organization or a certain business line, but they certainly do have or are able to drive up a lot of buzz around them that, from an awareness standpoint, kind of puts them on par with some of these larger organizations. And to have that information kind of going in and to understand that can certainly kind of change your mindset of how it is that you need to approach customers, or how you need to make them aware, and how you service those customers kind of going forward, knowing that there are those other options that are available to their potential client base.
Sure. And I mean, when we talk about the up and comers, there's also the concept of M&A possibilities. You know, you may want to say, wow, this guy's up and comer. They've got some good technology. They're getting a lot of buzz in the marketplace. Maybe we should think about buying.
Yeah, I think obviously that is certainly a possibility where the threat is there. It certainly proposes an opportunity, if that's something that's available to your organization. But for my last question here, though, right, I'd really kind of like to get to where the rubber meets the road a little bit and kind of say what exactly makes this program successful for an organization? You know, is it simply kind of we surveyed, we got the insights, and we can kind of develop an action plan based upon that? What is your criteria that you see from your end, Pete, that kind of really makes this program successful for an organization?
You know, I think with this program or any program, it really boils down to a commitment to change. And by that, I mean, you have to listen to the feedback that you're getting, understand it, absorb it, and make the necessary changes to make your product or your brand better and stronger and more competitive in the marketplace. Oftentimes, we see organizations like to listen to this kind of information, but then don't know what to do about it, or haven't got the right people and resources in place needed to effectively manufacture or develop change.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Pete. Really appreciate your time for talking to me about this competitive analysis program for Mercator Advisor Group. And as I understand it, you do intend to have a more detailed webinar coming up around this topic, correct?
Yes, we have a webinar planned for a little later on in the summer.
Excellent. And we'll make sure that when this goes live, that we have a form for people to be able to fill out to register for that webinar when this article becomes available. So Pete, again, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ryan. Always appreciate it.